Welcome to Baba Education Institute. My name is Reverend Henry Kelly. Today, we will be going through the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 15. And the title for this section will be called, Do You Have Encouragement? And so I ask you, do you have encouragement? Because I don't know about you, but in these days we're living, I could use with all the encouragement I can get. Because sometimes you, like just in the day's time, it seems like the world is just losing its mind. But you know what? We have a hope and encouragement that can be found in the Son of the Living God, Jesus Christ, who came and he became the one-time sacrifice so that now we can come through faith, believing, through the repentance of our sins because we've broken God's moral law, and putting our trust in Christ Jesus. And then you have hope, because no matter what happens, you have heaven for eternity. And it's like the most perfect place you could ever dream of or think of, without all the troubles of the world we live in, this wicked world. And without all the crazy happenings that sometimes we seem we have no control of. But remember, God is sovereign and he is in complete control, because he is omniscient. He knows everything. He is everything. He created everything. He's not surprised about anything. In fact, he's in complete control. I know. Before I really started studying and understanding what Christianity was and what the Bible was really about and what God was about, I always thought, well, you know, if God is in control, why does all these stuff happen? You know, good, bad, ugly, whatever. But it's all for his purposes. He knows what's happening, and he knows what's best, and he knows how to bring things up. Like, he knows what the future is going to hold and how to get there, because he is the future. So if we put our trust in him, we're going to be in pretty good shape. Still have troubles and problems, but we'll be all right. Okay, so let's get into, well, before I get into the New Testament book of Romans of chapter 15, let me tell you why we can trust in the Bible. And I got this information from Dr. Vodi Bakum in one of his teachings on YouTube. And he gave this, why we can trust the Bible. And here's why. The Bible, a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses, 40 authors, 66 volunteer books, a span of 1,500 years in three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe, written in three languages, mainly Hebrew and Greek, a little in Aramaic, hundreds of subjects and topics. And that's why we can believe, because all this happened, all this transpired. We have the information, we have witnesses, and we can put our trust in God, in Christ, Jesus Christ, because you sure can't trust man. In fact, I heard a preacher say, he was talking to someone, and they say that, this one particular person said, well, you know, I trust people and all this. He says, really? And they just happened to be in a park and had like some benches there or whatever. And he says, well, why don't you take your wallet, you know, and your purse or whatever. You just lay it out there and just leave it there on the bench and walk away and then come back a few hours later and see if it's still there. She goes, oh, no, I can't do that. He says, but you said you trust people. And then she realized, like, oh, yeah. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's just how it is. Okay. But let's begin in Romans chapter 12. And I'll be using the NIV, New International Version, Bible. It's one that can be trusted and it's easy to understand. And remember, the NIV, King James, New King James, English Standard Version, NIV, and there's a couple others that were directly translated from the Hebrew and the Greek by our professors in Hebrew and Greek and stuff, so they translate it to English. So that's why we can trust these kind of Bibles. There are Bibles out there that are more literary, There's one, I think it's called The Message. I wouldn't suggest you get that one because that was written by a Presbyterian pastor. And he just wrote it directly from the way he understood it. So instead of going from the Hebrew and the Greek, he just he translated in the words that he would use, you know, and stuff like that. So, yes, it may be somewhat easy to understand. I looked through it and read through it and stuff. And there's a lot of areas that I wouldn't trust, you know. So let's begin in Romans, the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 15. And this is Paul talking. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Verse 2. Each of us should please our neighbors of their good, to build them up. Verse 3. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. Verse 6. So that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Verse 8. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed. Verse 9. And moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing the praises of your name. Verse 10, again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. Verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the peoples extol him. Verse 12, and again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. Verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're in the next section now, and of the title in this section here is called Paul, the Minister to the Gentiles. Verse 14, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. Verse 15, yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me. Verse 16, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, therefore I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. Verse 18, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. Verse 19, by the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. Verse 20, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Verse 21, rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him see, and those who have not heard will understand. Okay, let's continue this section. The title in this section is Paul's Plan to Visit Rome. Verse 23, but now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to visit you, verse 24, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through, and to have you assist me on my journey there, after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Verse 25, now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. Verse 26, for Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. Verse 27, they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. Verse 28. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. Verse 29. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. Verse 30. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Verse 31, pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there. Verse 32, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will, and in your company be refreshed. Verse 33, the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Wow. Yes, 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 and amen, I say. Yes. Paul was a very powerful apostle, and when he first got started, he was considered a Pharisee, and he was he excelled in it, and he was a zealous type person, to where whatever he did it 150% or more. And so he used to persecute the Christians because he was still in that Jewish mindset. And he was also trained and educated as a Pharisee, so he knew the Old Testament. But in his fervor, you know, he also was like a Pharisee because they taught him the bad things too, which he believed. And so he thought he was doing the right thing until Christ himself stopped him when he was going to, he was just going down the road. And stopped him, and like in a voice that only he could hear, and he had people with him that couldn't hear it, but they saw the light. And so they were, you know, of course, in fear. And then so Jesus struck him blind, and he said, well, you go over to the next town over, and you wait for someone that I'm going to send you. And he did, and he was also blind. And so when the person came, he prayed over him, and he got his sight again. But he realized through that Christ was real. And from that point on, he was a zealous, powerful servant for him, for Jesus Christ. Amazing, amazing, amazing. But we can get encouragement, and we can get hope from all this, and we can learn to have endurance and live in this world if you have Jesus Christ. So those that are listening, you already know what I'm talking about. And those, or for those who are Christians listening, you know what I'm talking about. And then those that are just listening, but you've never really made a commitment to Jesus Christ, or you just don't understand or whatever, there's peace in God. Just like Billy Graham, you know, maybe some of you don't remember or know Billy Graham or heard of him, but he was a pretty famous guy, and I think he died at 99 years of age. I believe it was around 2017, I think. But he would say the same thing. So we can take encouragement in this. And if I were you, I would we'll listen to the rest of this, because I'm going to tell you how you can leave this world alive and have heaven for eternity. So if you just bear with me, we will do that right now. So let me give you a few scriptures first, if you don't mind. Exodus chapter 4, verse 11, the NIV, says this: "The Lord said to him, 'Who gave human beings their mouth?'" Though this was God talking to Moses. "Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord?" That's why I said God is in total control, and he does things for his purposes that we just don't understand because we have a human finite mind. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, NIV: "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight and love." Now, what he's saying is that he draws the people that he knows belong to him. And he chose the ones that are going to be his servants, who are going to serve him and love him from the foundation of the world. Because God is God. He created us. He knows us. And he knows all about it. And I know we're trying to figure out things. Well, how can that be and all this stuff? But I'm just telling you, like, it takes a while to understand, but the closer you get to God, and the more you read his word through his spirit and everything, it's revealed to you. And you start to understand that because God is God and he's sovereign, he can do whatever he wants to do, and he does it the way he wants to do it. And what we have to learn to do is accept that. We want to control our own world, and we want to control everything. But we cannot. But God can. God can, my friend. John chapter 14, verse 6, King James Version says, "Jesus saith unto him, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto him, but no man cometh unto the Father but by me.'" That means we have to come through Jesus Christ to get to the Father and heaven. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 to 31, NIV, New International Version. "In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Repenting means turn from your sins. Turn from our wicked ways." That's what it's saying. Turn from our wicked ways. Let me give you some salvation scripture. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10, King James Version, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confesseth the man salvation." Romans chapter 10, verse 13, King James Version, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the King James Version, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I'm also going to read this. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through 15, King James Version. "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Verse 15, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things.'" That is marvelous, just simply marvelous. Marvelous, marvelous, marvelous. Mm-hmm. Totally, completely marvelous. Okay. Let's go through the commandments and see where we stay. I'll see where we're at. This is for you to judge yourself. Have you ever hated anyone? According to Jesus, you already committed murder in your heart. That's the sixth commandment: you shall not murder. Already fell in that one. Have you ever lied? We've all lied. And it don't matter how long ago it was or whatever, even as a child, whatever, we've lied. And you only have to break the law one time and you're guilty of all of it. That's the ninth commandment: you shall not bear false witness. Have you ever stolen anything or borrowed something and didn't bring it back? It doesn't matter how much it's worth or cost. It could be a paper clip, a pen, or whatever. What he calls the one that steals? A thief. And that's the eighth commandment, you shall not steal. So that's three of what we looked for. And so what does that make you? A lying, thieving thief. Have you ever looked at another person with lust? That's the seventh commandment. You shall not commit adultery. So that would make you a lying, murderer, adultery at heart, thief. You know, we're laughing at it, but God doesn't laugh. Because God's standards are way high and ours are way low. We're good with everything. We've also broken the first and second commandment. The first commandment is, you shall not have any gods before me. And the second commandment is, you shall not make any idols. So, and we've made a god in our minds. Oh, that's a snuggly, cuggly god, and he accepts everything we do. But that's not the God of the Bible. That's a false god. So that's another god or other gods, and we made an idol of that. And we make an idol of a lot of things. It could be your house, car, job, whatever. Don't matter. So you see, we are sinners who need a Savior. And so that's why we used the Ten Commandments. The commandments are used to show us our sin. That's what they're there for. But like through Christ, then he helps us to start keeping this stuff, you know, and start to overcome. But we'll never be perfect till we get to heaven. So, but we can, through Christ, will help us to overcome and stop doing these things. And it's not easy, but God helps you to do it. So that's why we need Christ. So I would advise you to ask God to forgive you of all your sins. And then repentance is turning from the sin. Stop doing that. I'm going to put your trust in Christ alone. Start, get a good Bible. Like I already through the, I already gave you the different Bibles you can use that are good. Which would be the NIV, King James, New King James, ESV, the English Standard Version. I think I said the NIV, New International Version. And there's some other, there's a few other good versions too. But one of the bad ones is the Message Bible, because that wasn't directly translated in the original Hebrew or Greek, but by a Presbyterian pastor that decided to do that on his own. So I would advise you to repent, because did you know 150,000 people die every day around the world? And you don't know if you're going to be in that number. Let me give you some resources. Here's some good teachers and their ministries and everything. Dr. Vodi Bakum, you can find him on YouTube. And you can put Vodi Bakum Ministries in the search engine and pull up. You can follow him on like what he's doing. Living Waters of Ray Comfort, livingwaters.com. R.C. Sproul, Ligonier Ministries, is good teachers and preachers. Answers in Genesis with Ken Ham, answersingenesis.org. Wall Builders with David Barton, wallbuilders.com. And he gives you a lot of American Christian history and stuff. And he also has a radio broadcast you can find. You can listen to it online. Dr. Walter Martin, waltermartin.org. Apologia Studios with Pastor Jeff Durbin, apologiastudios.com. And you can listen to him on the audio part on Apple Podcasts. And you can go on his website, apologiastudios.com, and go to the menu and put in Greg Bonson or Bonson U. He was a great Bible professor that died a while back, and the family donated all of his audio teachings to Apologia Studios. They remastered it, and you can literally get a free seminary education by and just listening. It's amazing, because I listened to it too. Very, very good. Excellent. If you'd like to follow us, our website is, it's all lowercase, BibleEducationInstitute@gmail.com. And we have a cheap website, you know. And, but there should be a link below in the information area of the audio podcast, and also the audio podcast on video that you can find on YouTube and Rumble. But I'll give it to you in case you want. You want to write it down or whatever. Okay, it is 5 lowercase d lowercase b lowercase e 1182 lowercase e 5831 dot lowercase s I T E for site 123 dot lowercase me M E. But like I said, it should be a link. You just click on it, it'd be a whole lot easier. And it's just a basic website, but it just gives you something to look at. You can follow us on YouTube and Rumble, and you can also follow us on Telegram, Getter, Twitter, Facebook, and Gab. And the audio podcast, you can also find us on Listen Notes, Luminary Podcast, Player FM, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Amazon Music, Overcast, Chrome, GPod, Firefox, Safari, iTunes, Audible, Alexa, Google, Podbean, Internet Explorer, and so forth. I was going to give you some more good teachers. Doug Wilson, Gary DeMar, Pastor Joel Webben, W-E-B-O-N, with Right Response Ministries on YouTube. And Dr. James White is on YouTube in Apologia Studios. And their YouTube, all those I mentioned to you, you can find on YouTube and Rumble, or mostly on YouTube. And then again, Dr. R.S.B. Sproul, Pastor Jeff Durbin with Apologia Studios, Dr. Vodi Bakum, and I think that's it. Let me give you some other helpful resources. I like to buy a lot of used books, so they're like almost new, but you can buy them new or used or whatever. I go to Abe Books, A-B-E-B-O-O-K-S, Thrift Books, and also is online at Amazon and Alibris, which is A-L-I-B-R-I-S. But you can put whatever book you're looking for, Bible, whatever. You put it in your Google search engine or whatever search engine you have, and it'll pull up the different booksellers that who have those books, and you just go with that. There's another good resource I would suggest. He teaches you all about church history, and he makes it very interesting. And you can go you can put this in your search, Google search, or whatever you got. TCT Network, and go to on-demand programs, and you go to Faith and History with William Federer, and it gives you all of church history and American history. It's fascinating, the way he does it. There's another one if you want to learn, you know, a little bit deeper in the Old Testament. He used to be on TCT, but no longer, but you can get him on his website, and that is RabbiDanielLappin.com, and you can find him on YouTube and on different podcasts. And his wife Susan Lappin helps a lot, and she's real interesting. And she also has a blog that you can read. So it's really good. And what he teaches is called Ancient Jewish Wisdom. It's really, really interesting with Rabbi Daniel Lappin. Yeah. So, anyways, until the next time, remember, read your Bible daily without fail, and do what it says.